I remember, California State Polytechnic College, San Luis Obispo, presents a series of programs of distinguished retired staff members. And here today, bringing us his recollections and impressions, is A.M. Bert Fellows. Bert, in your original contact with Cal Poly, how and when did you happen to meet President McPhee?
Well, it so happened that I was the president of the Santa Monica Typographical Union, also the Southern Typographical Conference of Unions, which represented about 90,000 people. They elected me as a delegate to be a representative in both houses at Sacramento to protect their best interests. And it was during this time that I met President McPhee, who worked very closely with Senator Chris Jesperson, and our first friendship really began by being rather antagonistic to each other because I didn't like a billy head, and so I emasculated it, and then we three met, ironed out our troubles, and that was the beginning of our 23 or 4 years friendship.
Now, after that, what were some of the incidents that led up to your actually coming to and becoming a part of Cal Poly?
Well, during World War II in the state of California, there were over 1,000 printers, or people employed in the printing business, killed, and 5,000 wounded, and John B. Long, who was the general manager of the California Newspaper Publishers Association, knew that they had had printing equipment at Cal Poly for many, many years, and he requested the governor to request President McPhee to reactivate this equipment.
And I trust that soon after that, President McPhee got in touch with you, and you came down here and looked around. What were your first impressions when you came down to see the equipment that John was talking about?
Well, my first impressions of the equipment were not very high because it had been in use and sometimes neglected for a great many years. However, I didn't look at that part of it because for the past 25 years prior to coming here, my ambition was to run a course in printing engineering for young men so that they could accept and be accepted in their rightful positions in the industry, in management.
And was your ambition that this would be a full 4-year degree program, Bert?
That was so, and I guess I made the mistake of talking upside down earn while learning to McPhee because I discovered that that's what he believed in, and he agreed that I could run a 4-year course. And he assigned Bob Kennedy and Dean Knott to assist me in writing the original curriculum so it would meet the requirements.
And as I remember that early period, one of the first things that you had to do, because that was the only equipment you had, was with perhaps some help on the part of students and so on, was to get that old equipment, take it apart, clean it up, put it back into mechanical perfection so that you'd have something to start with. Is that right?
This is true. We had to practically overhaul every piece of equipment that was there, and in the process, we discovered that many of the magazines for the linotype machines and the molds and other pieces of equipment were not there. And I found that during the trying war periods that the college had loaned the Arroyo Grande News, the Pismo Times, and the Morro Bay Sun, as well as the Atascadero paper, these parts, and I spent a good deal of time visiting them and reclaiming these parts.
But Bert, you were fortunate in that you did have a place to move into very quickly after you came here.
Oh, yes. When I came here, Mr. President McPhee took me down to the basement where the old Navy officers of the day used to be and showed me a room that had been built in that building specifically for the printing department. And he informed me that would be my new home. However, 2 months later, when I got here, I discovered that the entire English and math department staff was housed in that room, and it took me 6 months to bring about the changes that were made it possible for us to occupy this room.
And as a little sidelight, too, if I remember correctly, all of the conduit for the machines had been poured under the floor slab, but when the Navy came in, those were all cut off and concrete was poured over the top. Is that right?
That's right, and we had a great deal of trouble with this because no one had anticipated anything greater than 110 volts, and many of our machines had to have 220, and we were overloading the single lines to where many an evening in the process of putting out the first issues of El Mustang, running the linotype machines and the lead loads, we'd blow all the fuses out, and the electrical department would have to come in, I believe the man's name was Mr. Perosi, and throw the relays back in and get us going again.
Bert, where did you find your instructional staff in those days? Now, there were very few college graduates in printing or printing engineering, and I know that you put a lot of stress on the practical experience and excellence in workmanship that people had. Where did you get your early staff?
Well, it came from my personal contact with and the privilege of working with men in the industry, and my first instructor was a man named Guy Culbertson, who worked on the Santa Monica Evening Outlook. He was a very fine-looking young gentleman with an excellent background. His father had been a senator and a publisher, and I talked him into coming up here as the first addition to the staff. Mr. Gregory, the second man, had worked with me in the Southern Typographical Conference and in other activities, and he was an excellent man for detail, accounting, and bookkeeping, and was superintendent of Grimes Stansford in Los Angeles, and I talked him into coming up here. And all of the men that came up here were men of this type. Also, we did hire Mr. Truix, who was a graduate, and also a Mr. Mylon Steffel, who was a graduate. Very interesting incident. Mr. Steffel walked in one day and said he had a call from the Lord and was going to the Philippines. And I told him that was the only person I couldn't compete with was the Lord. So God bless him. And he is still in the Philippines and doing an outstanding job.
Good. Bert, we talked about some of the few old pieces of printing equipment that were available over there. And today, the printing engineering department here has a great amount of the very finest printing equipment in the country. And I think that you reminded me that you had $10,000 in the budget when you came down here, and you were expected to start school with that. Now, tell us a little bit about how you managed to quickly get more money in the budget and how you managed to get and begin to develop the fine plant that you have today, that's here today.
First of all, I was pretty shocked when I was informed that there was only $10,000 to finance the department for a two-year period, because the legislature was operating on that basis then. And so I insisted that they give me more money, and President McPhee said, how much? And I said, $40,000. And he said, how long will it take to write a budget? And I took a pencil and wrote a budget. And he instructed Mr. Nelson to see to it that this money was made available to me. Also, through John B. Long's urgency and cooperation, he said that if Mr. Cooper and President McPhee would come with me to Santa Cruz to a convention, that there was we might get a resolution through to ask Governor Earl Warren to add $25,000 out of his own personal account, which all transpired.
Then over the years, Bert, in addition to that start, you have been able to get money in the budget for continued purchases of very excellent equipment. And as I recall it, the industry itself has been a very, very cooperative in helping you get the equipment.
Well, this is true. The budget, of course, when you work with a budget at Cal Poly, you're competing with 8 or 9 other departments and a distribution. And since printing equipment costs so much, it took a good deal of planning and selling. The World War II, following it, and when we went into the war surplus business, had lots of equipment that they had used and declared no good, and I was very fortunate with the help of Mr. Nelson and Mr. Knott in acquiring almost $30,000 worth of this so-called junk, which we put into work, and much of it is still operating. The industry was very slow in coming through because they felt that they might establish a precedent. But after a couple of years, we convinced them that since we were the only department in the United States connected with a college that issued a Bachelor of Science degree, that they would not be establishing such a tremendous precedent, and they have been very liberal since then.
Another big step, I know, Bert, was the construction of the graphic arts department, building, I should say, over there, and you had a big hand, of course, in planning that part of it for that was to be devoted to printing, engineering, and management. Could you just comment on that a little bit?
Well, when I came here, I had equipment stored in an old hay barn and some Quonset huts in the basement of the old ag building, and we got it all together, and the department developed so rapidly and became so popular that I took over the basement, and then I had to justify the expansion by taking over what is now the El Corral in the basement of the old administration. As a matter of fact, the lights in there came out of my budget. We used screw jacks and raised the building 3 inches and primed it up, and my students laid the concrete. And it took all of these things to convince the administration and the legislators that we should have a building that by 1967 could accommodate the department.
You mentioned a little while ago the fact that you and President McPhee both believed in the upside-down theory of education. What do you mean by that, Bert?
Well, the upside-down theory is, to me, it's a simple thing to explain. To some of the newer staff, it'd probably be difficult. It's like an inverted cone. In other words, the first year you teach primarily the subject matter of the course that's to be taught, so that if for any reason that student should leave, he would be of some value to his employer and himself. And then progressively up to the senior year, this diminishes until in the senior year he is working on the major portion of his major, and when he gets his degree, he knows something about the business he's going into.
In other words, he's topped off the practical work and the basic work with the theory and the science to make a well-rounded and complete graduate. Is that it?
That's correct. Taking our business, which is exclusive of food and clothing, and that's pretty big, the third largest industry in the world, there never had been anyone trained to go into administration except by being the son of a publisher or someone marrying into the family or something. And this was very important to get men who could go into administration and management, who understood the problems of the people they had to work with.
Bert, I remember over the years that one of the jobs that you and your department conducted for so long, and which it was hoped would give the students training in that particular kind of thing, was the publication of a magazine that went to 13,000 boys and adults over the state every year and carried the byline of California State Polytechnic College on it. What was that publication?
Well, that was the publication, the official publication of the Future Farmers of America, and was, I presume, part of their membership as a subscription, and it was handled by Mr. George Cooper, who, in my years of work with him and experience, was a very excellent man and one of the best layout men in magazine work. And this required over 60,000 impressions on presses, besides the time in the bindery, the typesetting, and this. And I would say that the one thing that the students did in Cal Poly, of many, that made them more cognizant of what they were supposed to be doing in the printing business was the production of this Future Farmer magazine.
Well, I'm glad to hear those kind words, Bert, because oftentimes when I came in with a copy and a deadline of 6 or 8 days away, well, there were often quite a few howls on the part of students and some of the staff members. Bert, as I think about your history here and things we see when we go over to the department now, the name of Charlie Palmer comes to my mind, and some of the old type and machinery. Could you tell me a little bit about this man and your relationship with him?
Charlie Palmer was a public relations man for PG&E from Fresno. He also belonged to a writers group in San Francisco and was a very interesting person. He was about 6 feet 4 tall. He wore a 10-gallon black hat and a frock-tail coat and had a little goatee, but his hobby was the accumulation and collection of equipment out of the motherlode country and from the small newspapers over the state. He became very interested in our department. As a matter of fact, he talked the publishers into accepting his Shakespeare Press as a gift and then donating it to Cal Poly. And we have in the printing department at Cal Poly in the basement, and it all has been cleaned up with the students in fine shape, the largest collection of antique and historic printing equipment this side of Chicago.
Well, that certainly is wonderful. And the preservation of these old presses and old pieces of printing equipment in an institution like this is certainly wonderful, because were it not for those efforts, those things could be gone forever. Well, now, going from the very old to the very new, what are some of the very modern machines that are now being acquired by the department?
Well, of course, when we built the building, up to that point, we had not gone very deeply into offset color printing. But knowing that we could not invest the amount of money, which I believe was $1.25 million in a building with 48,000 square feet, we had to make plans for offset. And we planned it so that we would have 9 offset presses and 3 process cameras and all kinds of stripping material, the use of the photo setter, and we had 6 other type 2 negative type of machines. Since then, we have acquired, I am told by my successor, 2 electron machines, which are magnetic tape controlled master keyboard machines that are fantastic, and this leads into the trend of the future of the printing business. We have had to drop many of our original elementary courses in order to make room for the new courses in electronics, in computation, and administration. We have more than trebled our administrative courses with the business department at Cal Poly.
Bert, I know one of the proudest boasts of Cal Poly is the employability of its graduates. The fact that they go out of here, they're immediately useful. Could you tell me a little bit about the careers of some of your successful graduates? And I know you've had a great many of them.
Well, our first graduate came to us from Burbank through the architectural department, which was not very large at that time. And he is now a aerojet designer with Convair in San Diego, which seems to be a far field, but it was the training he got in management and business and how to work with people and designing and drawing that made this possible. And there are many such outstanding men in various fields, and some of them apparently not too related with the printing business, which proves that our basic program of producing engineers was very sound. We have at the present time in San Francisco 60 men employed in administrative positions, and some of them in very high positions with such concerns as the Wall Street Journal and Swabacher Fry, and too numerous to mention. We have 30 in Los Angeles with large corporations, and we have 25 in San Diego, and then they are spread out in the East now with DuPont and IBM and Photo Center and the Wall Street Journal. Possibly another 25 or 30 men. So we did not go too far wrong in our original planning to turn out men. And in this way, we really kept out of too serious a trouble with the organized labor field, because it took them quite a while, but they suddenly realized that we were not competing with them.
Bert, what you said about some of the new equipment and the success of the graduates and the continual trend to keep up to date with the new methods of in graphic arts and printing. What would you say about the future of the printing engineering and management department here at Cal Poly?
Well, there is no doubt that in the future of it, with the trends as they are, that there's going to have to be new blood, new vision involvement, because the industry is going into computed taped recording of and reproduction of type on a massive, large scale. The classified industry of secret production of manuals and things under the most of the men who work in this field are known as reproduction engineers, and 15 of our graduates have membership in this national organization. And they are working in secret classified work. So there is no doubt that a lot of the things that met the requirements at first, the same as anything else, so that over a period of 20 years, you have to take a new look at it.
Well, Bert, under the very wonderful and sound basis in which the printing engineering and management program was established, I'm real sure that they're going to continue to go on and to keep up with the trend and to do an extremely good job in the future. And you can be very proud that your good works will remain and be remembered. This program has presented the voice of A.M. Bert Fellows, a part of the series, As I Remember. This interview has been conducted by George P. Cooper.